All right, let's take our Bibles once again and turn back to Luke chapter 6. And I want to give you the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. And now you know the rest of the story. All right. Let's begin reading in verse 6 once again. Just read down to verse 12. In verse 6, we read, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him." So the whole idea for watching him was to catch him doing something that they could accuse him and have him arrested and thus silenced. And so that's why they were watching him. Now, we're told in verse 8, "But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then saith Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other." And here's the text verse that I'm using. Verse 11 says, "And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another that they might, what they might do to Jesus." Now, you would think that these religionists would have been happy, right? I would think they should be. I would think that that would be of interest, that one of their own was healed by just what was in the Lord Jesus's mind and heart. He didn't touch the man. He didn't do anything to him. He just stood him out from everyone else, stood him in the midst, and then said to him, "Stretch forth thine hand." Now, I'm sure, as I said this morning, that fella probably tried every day of his life, several times a day, to stretch forth that hand. I would say every day of his life, he thought, maybe did I see it move today? You know, that kind of thing. I think he might have went in and said to his wife, "Honey, look, I think I moved that finger right there. Just watch carefully." And she couldn't see any movement, but she probably smiled and said, "Yeah, honey, I think I saw it too." Every day of his life, he tried to stretch forth that hand. But now the Lord Jesus doesn't even say anything to him. Doesn't even say, "In the name of God the Father, be healed." No, nothing. He just said, "Stretch forth your hand." And the man stretched forth his hand, and the Lord healed him so that his right hand was just as good as his left hand had been. Absolutely amazing story. Now, the point that I was bringing out this morning and want to finish tonight is the fact that in verse 11, those religious leaders should have been rejoicing and giving praise to God for what had just happened. But instead, they were filled with madness. I can imagine that the people were excited. I'm sure the people started rejoicing. I'm sure this man's family was happy, and I'm sure they started rejoicing. But the religionists, nothing. They just got mad. They just got angry. They could not stand what was going on. You say, well, what made them so mad? Well, in their mind, the Lord Jesus had committed a sin that was, as I said this morning, about that far underneath murder. All right? Just about that far underneath murder. Now, helping someone, I think that's a wonderful thing. I don't think that's a crime at all, do you? Being nice to someone, helping someone, restoring a withered hand is certainly a noble thing to do. But the religionists didn't like it at all, and we are told that they were as mad as they could be. Now, this morning, I made a statement about, I don't remember what part of the message, but a few people called me out on it this morning, said they had never heard Katie bar the door. Now, that I didn't necessarily think that was just a West Virginia thing. It's not, I guess. It's a Southern thing, probably. But anyway, you say, well, who in the world was Katie? Well, I looked it up. So you all would not say, you're just making stuff up. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Here it is. Katie was Catherine Douglas, and she was a queen in waiting in England. All right, now, King James I was being chased and attacked by some men that wanted him dead. These royal guys over there, they always had to look over their shoulder. Every day of their lives, they were watching over their shoulder. Well, this King James was young, and the first, and he was running. He was able to run faster than his attackers, and he was screaming his head off as he came to the front door, and he yelled inside because he saw Catherine, and he yelled inside and said, Katie, bar the door the minute he came through. So she shut the door, threw the bar down, and stood there with her hand on the door and was able to hold off her attackers. And that's where Katie bar the door came from.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Now, let's get back to something that counts, all right? So what I'm pointing out to you is a few things about these religionists' reaction and then applying them to the reaction of people today who reject the truth of God and reject the Lord. And the first thing that I pointed out to you this morning was we noticed the mindset, the psychic in the reaction, all right? And the whole thing was that they were filled with madness. These guys were just absolutely beside themselves with madness. And the word means, comes from a root word that means without a mind. Now, they just lost their minds. That's what they're saying. These religionists literally just, here's what we shorten it today. Say, oh, he lost it. What'd he lose? His mind. He lost it. All right? And another fellow said, without intellect or understanding. And you know, that is very easily done when you lose your mental capabilities through anger. It's very easy to just lose yourself and lose your mind. And the question that I asked at the end of that first point was this: why do people get so upset with God's people when we're trying to do good for others? It doesn't really stand the test, does it? I mean, you know, you're trying to help someone, and yet the world thinks that you ought to be put in a mental institution somewhere. We here at our church, we have been called all kinds of things, and one fella did an article years ago in the paper, and he said that we were the church of the closed mind. And I thought, wow, that's a compliment. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that. Because we are. We're closed. We're not letting anything else come into the gospel. We're just not going to do it. Not going to tolerate it. All right? So I think that the rejection of Christ is because of the will and not the wisdom. All right? So it is a matter of your will, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's all involved. And when you have rejected the gospel of Christ, and when you have rejected the word of God, you're naturally going to reject those who spread it. That's just a natural reaction. All right, now, second thing I want you to see. I want you to notice the perversion in the reaction. The perversion in the reaction. What caused this senseless rage that was going on? Well, I'll tell you what caused it. It was a perversion of God's law. It was taking God's law and making it say what you wanted it to say instead of what God was wanting to say. And that's always a dangerous thing. And that caused the perversion in the reaction. Jesus had healed this poor fella on the Sabbath day. Now, let me tell you where all of these unwritten rules that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes and all the rest of them adhered to. Where did they come from? Well, they came, as I've shared with you in days past, in that 400-year period between Malachi and Matthew. All right? They call them the 400 silent years. And they call them the silent years because there was no prophet that spoke on God's behalf during that 400 years. But the truth of the matter is, they were very noisy years, because it was in this 400-year period where these Pharisees got their power, and the Sadducees, they were all religionists. They disagreed with one another, all right? The Pharisees had more of a liberal approach to things, and the Sadducees had an agnostic point towards things. I mean, the two hated one another. They did not get along. But don't you find it strange that in their effort and in their attack to silence the Lord Jesus Christ, they were yoked up and the best of friends. Isn't that amazing? They're all getting along as they're going after the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was during that 400-year period between Malachi and Matthew that these religious camps rose up in prominence. There were several of them. There were many of them. And they came into service during that 400-year period between the Testaments. They had to justify their existence. So they would sit around and discuss and write laws. Did you hear that? Does that sound familiar to anybody? You know? Rush Limbaugh used to say, Congress is going home this week. It's the best day of the year so far. You say, well, what's that mean? They're not making laws. That's what that means. They're not making regulations and restrictions. And listen, folks, these men had to justify their existence. And so they sat around and wrote law. Now, I think there's a lot of that going on in Annapolis. And I think there's a lot of that going on in Washington and in every other state capital in the world, in America. We just sit around because that's what we're supposed to do. And now you got this regulation and that regulation, and you got to get this done for your vehicle, and you got to pay that dues, and you got to pay this tax, and you got to pay this over here. And they just sit around and keep adding to the coffers. And folks, they're not going to be happy until they get it all. Say, well, when's it going to stop? When you sign your paycheck over. And then they're just going to tax. Listen, this is how bad it got during O'Malley's reign of terror. We had a rain tax in Maryland. Do you remember that? I would go across the country and preach and mention the rain tax, and everybody look at me like I was crazy. What? Yeah, we have a governor who is taxing everybody depending on how much rain we have. Now, number one, who thinks like that? Huh? Who thinks like that? There's just too many meetings going on. That's what I think. Too many meetings going on. Quit meeting. Quit having meetings. We'd all be a lot more happy if here's a novel idea. Let's get Elon Musk and that Vivek, whatever his name is, and let's let them clean it up. Let's find out where all our tax money is going. All right? So it's bad. It's bad, but this is nothing new. What we're dealing with today is nothing new. And what these guys were doing was perverting the law. They were perverting the law of God. And so this man got his hand fixed on the Sabbath day, and that was what angered the religionist. Jesus had violated not one of God's laws, but one of their laws. And boy, that's what you don't want to do, is violate their laws. That'll get you in trouble before anything, won't it? When they made it a crime to help someone on the Sabbath day, well, that was proof that they had perverted the Sabbath day. So much of our laws today are being perverted by those who make laws to stop folks from doing good for another person. All over the country, this is happening. All over the country. When we lived out in Joliet, Illinois, We had a little church picnic one day, and softball, and you know, everybody bring their bratwurst and Polish sausage and all the rest of that stuff, and we had a great time. We had a great afternoon. Well, there were four or five of us that got lawn chairs, and we're sitting around. One was a retired deputy. Another was a deputy. He was on active duty, who were members of our church. And so we're all sitting around, and they were talking about all of the home invasions that were going on in our community. And so I made the comment that if one of them comes in my house, he's going to have a little face-to-face with Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson. And one of them looked over at me, and he said, "Did you register that gun?" And I looked at him, and I said, "Nunya." And he said, "What?" I said, "Nunya, none your business." Well, he laughed, and he said, "Well, I'll get you some applications." I said, "Go ahead, that's fine." That's as far as it went. Oh, he brought the applications, but that was as far as it went. And we're all sitting there talking, and one of them said, in Illinois, if you shoot someone, even if they're breaking in your house, and even if they have a gun, you're the one that's going to get arrested." And I said, "Well, that can't be. That just can't be." I said, "Where I come from, down in West Virginia," I said, "they always said that if someone is breaking into your house, you need to shoot them, but make sure they don't run back out the door or climb back out the window. If they do, go out and drag them back in." And they started just cracking up laughing and said, "Oh, I've never heard anything like that." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, in Illinois, it doesn't matter who shoots who. If you shoot someone, you're the one's going to get arrested." And that's normally the way it is in Illinois, because you can't have a gun in Illinois. All right? Sky's blue, grass is green, the Pope's a Catholic, and you can't have a gun in Illinois. So that's the way it was, all right? And so that's our world today, folks. You see, right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. That's our world. Yeah. And everything in our world today is perverted. The law is perverted today. I mean, when you can blatantly sick the Justice Department upon your political enemies and get away with it, that's perversion. That's perversion, plain and simple. And a country cannot stand much longer when that stuff is going on. All right, so that is the perversion in the reaction. Then, thirdly, I want you to notice the provocation in the reaction. You see, healing a fellow with a crippling disease angered these hypocritical religionists. It angered them. It provoked them. They wanted to take action against the Lord Jesus Christ for doing a good thing. A good thing. Folks, when you reject the Lord, you get upset about good instead of evil. Yeah. What is appalling to us? Abortion. That's not appalling to the liberals. That is the baby that they carry around with them all the time. Abortion, abortion, abortion. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I think America is getting sick of all this stuff. I really do. I think that's what's happening in our country, and I'm so glad to see it. Amen. I hope you are as well. But when you reject the Lord, you get this mindset, you get this attitude that you get upset about good instead of evil. You know, it's like the ACLU getting upset because a church wants to pass out Bibles in school. Why would you get upset about that? Oh, by the way, they don't care if you pass out Korans. And they don't care if you have in the library the book that teaches your child how to be a pervert. They don't care about that. You can do all that you want. But you better not give the Bible to those kids. You better not do it. We had, when I was in high school, we had a group, I don't know where they were from, but when I was in high school, I had just gotten saved, and I drove to school and parked in the front, went in the front door, and there were these guys standing there with boxes. We had about 1,500 in our school, I think, something like that, 2,000 kids, and they were standing there passing out Bibles. And as I walked in, I saw them. I said, "What are you doing?" They said, "We're passing out Bibles." I said, "Wow, that's great. Nobody stopped you?" Well, they came out and told us to stop. I said, "Well, you listen well, don't you? You'd fit in real good here in this school." And they laughed a little bit. But the whole idea is that they didn't want folks passing out the Bible. You see, they make laws against that now. Oh, yeah. This gal down to mall, she calls. She hadn't called in a while. I don't know. I guess Pastor Josh hasn't taken the kids down there lately. I'm not saying start up again. I'm just, you know. But she had called. I want to speak to the head pastor. And I said, "Well, you got him. You're the head pastor, yes. Is there anybody higher than you?" I said, "Well, you can talk to the boss if you want to. Well, put him on." And I started laughing. I said, "You didn't get it." "I didn't get what?" I said, "The Lord is the boss. I'm the under shepherd. He's the shepherd. I guess you want to talk to me." "Well, I'm sick and tired of your people coming down here and leaving those little flyers around." And I said, "Well, where are they leaving them?" She said, "In the bathrooms." I said, "Oh my, really?" She said, "Yeah, so you're with me on this?" I said, "No, I'm not with you on that. What's wrong with that?" "Well, people just throw them away." I said, "Not everybody. Not everybody throws them away. Some folks pick them up and take them and read them. And some even pray and ask the Lord to be their Savior." "Well, I'm going to call the police." I said, "Ma'am, let me look the number up for you. Hold on just a second." "I know the number." "Well, why? We're trying to help people. You know, if we were down there passing out pornography, I could understand them getting upset. But we're trying to help people." I know when I got saved, it turned my life around. I was a new creature in Christ. That's all we're trying to do. But boy, they get all upset. They get all upset. But when you reject the Lord Jesus, you are provoked about the wrong things. The wrong things are what get you going. The wrong things are what puts that madness in your heart. Number four, notice the pitilessness in the reaction. I really don't understand how those who reject Christ and the Bible and the church and the gospel think. I don't get their logic. I mean, a man who was crippled was healed, and yet they got upset. But under their laws, you could not help anyone on the Sabbath. Now, you say, well, the Lord could have said, sir, why don't you step out and stand him there and say, now don't move. We'll all be back tomorrow and I'll help you. No, the man's in need today. Amen. Now. And isn't that what the Lord said? Behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. There's no time like the present. And yet they got all upset. They didn't have pity for that man. Oh, they claimed to be the representatives of heaven. They claimed to be God's representatives, but yet they stand over in the corner in judgment of the one doing the good deed. Unbelievable. You know, these folks, they can say they have compassion all they want, but they don't. They don't. They really need, they really want to help those who are in direct violation of God's law. Yeah, they want to help them to the jail cell. That's how they want to help them. But we don't understand. We look at stuff like that and we say, how in the world can you be so filled with hatred? Because that's what it is, folks. You say, well, they hate me. No, they don't hate you. They hate God and everything that represents God. Now, what all represents God? The Bible, the cross, the church, the pastor, that terrible evil youth pastor who brings people down there to litter in the bathrooms and in the food court. Oh, she was real upset about the food court. Why do you have to go to the food court? To eat? You know? And I said, well, how'd you know that we were in the food court? Because those pamphlets were everywhere. And I said, well, too bad. I mean, what am I supposed to say? She said, I'm going to call the police. Let me help you. Let me help you. I'll dial the number for you. You know? So I asked one of the policemen, I said, I saw him out here picking up his child from school, and I went over and asked him, I said, are we not allowed to pass out tracts in public? And he said, well, of course you can. I said, can we knock on people's doors and hand them a tract? Sure. Can we pass them out down at the mall in the food court? Well, certainly. Okay, thanks. You know, they will agree to kill babies in the womb. They have no problem with that. No problem at all with that. But then fight any opposition to this kind of killing of the unborn. All right, you see my point? Put protesters in jail. For what? They put a man in jail for praying two blocks from an abortion clinic. Two. He wasn't even standing on the sidewalk of the abortion clinic. And they arrested him and put him in jail. Unbelievable. Absolutely. But that's our world. But you see, when you reject the truth, then this is what happens to you. Your stance on everything just gets twisted. What's right becomes wrong. What's wrong becomes right. It's that simple. And then lastly, I want you to notice the plotting in the reaction. Boy, this grieves my soul. This grieves my soul because I know it could happen to me. Look at verse 11 again. It said, now this is their reaction. They were filled with madness and communed one with another. Now what's that mean? That means they got their heads together and they were talking amongst themselves. You see, everybody else is rejoicing. Everybody else is praising God. But these religionists have got their heads together, and what are they doing? They're communing one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now, that little word might, it has the idea of this, what they could do to Jesus. They're plotting his demise. So he'll be silenced. Don't want to hear from him. They were plotting to murder the Lord Jesus Christ for healing a man with a paralytic arm. Wow. I'm sorry, I just don't understand that thinking. The truth is, they would have gotten rid of Christ any way they could have gotten rid of him. And it ended up, eventually, they did. They did. You know, it's amazing when you think about it, just how wicked this old world can be. Very quickly, turn over in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. And let me show you a couple of verses here. Romans, chapter 1. Now, do you know what Romans chapter 1, the last half of the chapter, is about? It's about the behavior of those who reject Christ. It's about the behavior of those who reject the truth of God. That's what it's about. And you'll remember in verse 18, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." And then he just keeps coming down, showing man just continuing to go away from God. In verse 21, he said, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that word fool is a, it sounds like moron. Professing themselves to be wise, they became morons. Spiritual morons. That's kind of pointed, isn't it? See, y'all get mad at me. Paul was 10 times worse than me. All right, he just told them. All right, now go down, please, to verse 25. And look at this. It says, who changed the what? The truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at verse 26. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even, watch this now, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Wow. A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. How in the world has our society gotten where it's gotten today? Well, I just read it for you right there. This is our world today. Rights become wrong, wrongs become right. People going by on 140 and going out the back on Malcolm Drive back there, they look over and see all the cars, shake their heads and think, man, look at those fools out in church on Sunday night. What in the world's wrong with them? What is wrong with them? Well, that's what the world thinks. And the reason they think that is because when you reject the truth, you only go downhill from there. There is nothing as evil as a person who hears the truth, then rejects it, and goes his own way or her own way, and then is given over by God Himself, to a reprobate mind. There is a word that we had to learn in Greek class just day one, seemed like, and that was a word dokonos. That's a servant. That's a servant. That's what we're supposed to be, servants. Do you want to know what the Greek word is right here for this reprobate? You want to know what the Greek word is that translates reprobate? It's a dokamos. You know what that means? A, no, no. No servant. That's a reprobate mind. That's a reprobate mind. I don't know about you folks, but I want the mind of Christ. I want to think like God thinks. I want to read my Bible and get God's word in my heart and in my mind. And I hope you do as well. Boy, this next time you see an injustice, maybe it's against you or against your church or against the Bible or soul winning or passing out tracts, the next time you see that injustice, now you're going to know where it came from. Someone down the road has rejected the truth of God. And that's the end result, standing right there in front of you. May God help us. And we got to stand strong, Christian. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Bless this to our hearts tonight. Father, I pray that you'll give us understanding of what we have heard. Help us to take the things of the Word of God and hide them in our hearts so we won't sin against you. And Lord, help us to be patient with a world that has a reprobate mind. We're thankful that we live in America where it's still against the law to murder, even against the law to murder Christians. And we're thankful that we have the protection of our Constitution. But Father, we can't sit around and let our Bible and our truth get watered down and get taken away from us. So Father, help us to stand and stand fully for you. Bless your word now, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.